Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. My guest today, you've probably seen her around. She is a warrior and a champion for everything that is going on in our nation and shine a huge light on it. She was on our show about 5 months ago and was talking about this and really just started saying the truth, talking about her experience and her background in China and what was happening here. And she could not have been more right. Thank you for joining me, G. Van Fleet. Thank you for being with the show.
Thank you for inviting me back.
It's my pleasure. I have watched you go with such in awe of what you brought to light in this nation, how big your voice has gotten. I believe that you have been chosen by God to wake people up. So before we get into what you are doing, your amazing new book, and a lot of your insights of where we are right now, please tell my audience a little bit about your background.
Yes, I was born, I say this now, I was born into the slavery of communism. Right. In Mao's China. And when I was about seven, that's when the Cultural Revolution started. Cultural Revolution started in 1966 and ended in 1976 when Mao died. And that was pretty much my whole schooling. School supposed to be 12 years, but Mao cut it to 10 and said, what's the use of education? You know, let's turn out the revolutionary faster. So I have 10 years of so-called education. Two of them were lost because as soon as the Cultural Revolution started, school was closed. Why? Because the teachers and the principals were ousted and no one was running the school. No one was running all the institutions. Everything was paralyzed by the Red Guards. So that was I basically have 8 years of education and all of them were indoctrination. I learned hardly anything. By the time I graduated from high school, I was 16, should be 18, but I was 16 because 2 years were cut. So what awaited for me? No college, no future, no nothing. We were all sent to the countryside because there's no economy, there's no jobs, there's nothing for the young people. And young people by then were considered problems to get rid of. So I, with millions of young people from cities, were sent to the countryside to work in the fields with peasants under primitive condition. I worked there for 3 years until Mao died and Deng Xiaoping took over China. At that time, China was really at the brink of total collapse. And I would say it already collapsed. There was just ruins after 10 years of that Cultural Revolution. So he realized there's only one thing he could do to save China, to open up China and to invite foreign investment.
Right.
And in the meantime, he also opened universities. He knew in order to recover from the disaster, he needed people that a college educated, right, because colleges were pretty much closed during the Cultural Revolution. So in 1987, I was able to go to college to study English. And because that's the only thing, you know, when I was filled out the form for three choices that I can make for my majors,
wow,
English, English, and English. I just want to study English because I was, at that time, I already know a little bit of outside world. And I just really want to learn the language so I can get more information on my own. And hopefully one day, you know, maybe I can go outside China. But anyway, after I graduated, I was given a job because at that time, there's no such thing as choices, you know, for your career. The party decided what you should have. And I was given a job to teach in a college, teacher training college, like a middle school, high school teacher training college. And after that, it's in the early 1980s, the Americans started to come to, right, China, and the churches sent people out, you know, during the summer, you know, a group of Americans come to my campus to teach English, really just kind of spoken English. So And I made a friend among them. And she said she wanted to help me to come to America to study, to continue my graduate study. And so in the end of the summer, they were all gone. And I was like, I don't know whether she will really do what she promised. I thought probably not. It's just, you know, she just wanted to make me feel better. Nope. Sure enough, soon the corresponding arrived and said that she was doing the work, but it will be complicated. Hey, people, listen, it is very hard to get a visa. And took me a year and a half back and forth, and I have to take examinations and to pass, to show my English. Thanksgiving, I got my visa.
Wow.
And so I know there's so many things that, you know, that I describe that has more story to it. But I, at least here, I just say, when we, the legal immigrants, say that right. Our border is open and anyone just walk in, that make us angry, really angry.
Yeah. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. And let's talk a little bit about what you saw there in terms of what you're seeing here, because you have been an astute observer. You have a new book called A Mao's America, which is not a play on words. It's literally what is happening here. Now, what you saw in the schools there, I just saw Gavin Newsom, who I think is in bed with the CCP, and I have for a long time. He put out a plan where he's calling it Cradle to Career. And it's basically what you are saying, which is that the government from the day you are born will be gearing you towards the career that they feel is best for you. And I looked at this, I thought of you, I thought this is so dangerous, but they're presenting it as something that would be helpful. Talk a little bit about that. That is the end of creativity, of imagination, of everything. Yes. So to talk about what that means.
Yes. Okay. It that was a given in Mao's China, that the children belong to the party, the children belong to Chairman Mao. Even the parents understood. So it's all a given, because we were called, we were the successors of the socialist cause. We were not individuals. We're a group. And collectively, we were at the disposal of the party. And anywhere we were called, we're taught to consider ourselves, to regard ourselves as a little shining screws, and we'll be happy shining anywhere that the party put us in this huge, socialist machine.
Right.
So we're just, you know, anywhere you put us, anything you want us to do, we'll be happy to do it. We have no inspiration of our own. Right. The party's inspiration is ours. And that's exactly what happened to the Chinese youth. That's how they could have red cards. When Mao asked them to do anything, even to kill their parents, reporting on their parents, they would do it. And so, of course, Newsom loved CCP model, the China model, right? So the party, the state, take the place of parents.
And that's part of the entire philosophy, because what you're saying right now, another part of the philosophy is that there is no private property at all. There's no small businesses. Your children are the property of the state because there's no private property. What are the implications of there being no private property? Because this is, I just saw Obama talking about something called inclusive capitalism, which is not inclusive. It just means that they'll make sure that everyone is taken care of and that they'll run the whole thing. So talk about a little bit about that aspect of it, which is that there is no private property at all.
Yeah, because what they describe to us and to even to people today in America, in university, they were taught that it is sharing, right? So when you don't have property, private property was the source or root of evil, of human greed. Right. And so we should get rid of it. And then we get rid of the root of evil. So we share everything. Okay. Sounds wonderful. I grew up in that kind of sharing.
Right.
How we share? Okay, first of all, the government decide who deserve what. And so in the beginning, they confiscated land and they gave it to the peasants. And then they confiscated properties, the factories, and the party run the factory. And so for the peasants, they had the land for like 5 years and then all collectivized through the collective farming campaign. So eventually we all have nothing. And that's when the creativity stopped. Why bother work hard, right? Whatever you created does not belong to you. Why be creative? Whatever you come up with, some invention, it belongs to the party. So that's the reason people should understand. Communism is just a lie. It would first of all, they would not share the wealth.
Right.
They would not. And so the people say, it's a classless society. It's absolutely not true, because after they got rid of the haves,
right,
party become the haves, and the have-nots still have nots. And so, the class is still there. And so first of all, you're not going to get the wealth you think they're going to share with you. And after that, there's no wealth to share about. There's no wealth. You can't continue to create wealth. So eventually, communism is you share one thing: oppression, misery, and poverty.
Right. And you are watching, and you're very astute watching it, because you did go to school and what was college in the CCP. So you've been out there kind of sounding the alarm way before the last 3 weeks about what was going on our college campuses in America. And it appears that it was... I think a lot of people saw it, but they didn't want to believe that what was happening was similar. So when you're watching these people marching in the streets and they're swayed from one thing to another, it was Black Lives Matter, then it was the Women's March, then it was the LGBTQ March, now it's the ceasefire march. There'll be another march after this and after that. They're not thinking for themselves. They don't have the ability to even know what they think, it seems. It seems that it's a brainwashing tactic.
Yes, exactly. And it looks a little strange that those people like LGBTQ, I would say not LGBTQ, I would say it's trans ideology. That is the real thing that took over the LGB, right?
They
basically hijacked it. And so they were talking about genocide on them, right? And they have no rights because people misgender them. You know, they're in tears. And today in Starbucks, someone misgendered me, you know, whatever. You know, they're so sensitive. And yet the same people go out and cheer for the atrocity committed by Hamas. It looks like a little kind of a contradictory, but it is not. Once you understand what is their operating system, and that is oppressor versus oppressed, which is the core of Marxist divisive ideology, then divide people into two groups: oppressor and oppressed. And that's what Mao did in China. And so everyone gets a label. You either belong to the right, the red class or black class, and you can figure out by the color who is good, who is bad. And then anything you do to the black class during the cultural revolution, that's exactly what happened. Once your teacher was classified as the black class, overnight, they become enemy.
Right.
Okay. When they become enemy, anything you do to them is justified. And so that was happened. The first killing in the Cultural Revolution was done by a group of girls as young as 12, as old as 16. They beat their principal, tortured her, and then killed her.
Wow. Now let's talk about the people that run these NGOs and stuff that are really a big problem in this situation. That's where a lot, I think that a globalist billionaire oligarchy has captured America on many levels, especially our government, certainly academia, other places. But above, below them are these NGOs that have names that are the opposite of actually what they do. Yeah. But what happened in Mao's China to the people that were the leaders, that were training the children, that were guiding the children? Because it seems, because I look at these people and I think when they get what they want, this global governance, top-down, totalitarian, communistic, global system, those people, I think, are in danger, because I'm pretty sure that once this all went down, the people that were working to facilitate this were then turned on themselves.
Yeah, it's always that case. And in China, you know, how did they get tens of millions of young people follow Mao's order and destroy Chinese civilization, cancel everything? Right. That's a pre-cultural revolution. Basically, they even canceled the pre-cultural revolution, CCP, tradition, everything, okay? And then kill up to 20 million people. And so what happened to them? They become a problem. Right. And they actually got out of control and they started to fight each other and raged a civil war in China. And so become a problem. And so what Mao did is use the military to suppress them and the rest send them to the countryside. So that is something that a lot of the young people have no idea. Right. You know, we saw the demonstration on Saturday, and they're from all over the place. They're not just from our DC, Maryland, and Virginia. Some as far as Chicago, they all bust in.
Right.
And yep. someone organized it. Right. Someone paid for it. In China, that was Mao. Here is a group of people, and they're the elite and globalists, and yeah. And so the issue, they don't care about issues. They, you know, it's not I saying that, they say that.
Right.
There's no solution. The solution is revolution. And so they want revolution. And they carry not only Palestinian flag, but communist flag.
Right.
Yeah. So they don't care. It's not, I tweeted, it's not about Israel. It's not about Palestine. It's really about the ultimate oppressor, which is United States of America. That's their what they're after. They want to overthrow United States and build their utopia.
Yeah, well, that takes me to something I've been saying, too, about Israel, which is I don't think it has anything to do with Israel. I don't think the people that are running this show, this Build Back Better, Great Reset, Agenda 2030, care at all about any people or any nation or how many people die, which brings me to I looked at a map of the Belt and Road Initiative recently and on a show, and I went through this thing and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, this is not only them, the CCP controlling all of the supply chains on the planet, all of the ports, all of the waterways, all of the railways. But it also looks to me like their military plan, because if they're controlling all of this, and then you look at the map and you see where they are all over the world, it would seem to me, you know, how Donald Trump says they're not after me, they're after you and I'm in the way. Mm-hmm. I would say they're not after America, they're after the world and we're in the way. What are your what are your thoughts when you see them with the Belt and Road Initiative leading that and they're leading this? It seems like they're setting themselves up for a post-America world. That's just what it looks like.
Yeah, and even for a long time myself, I thought CCP China had no global ambition. But I was totally wrong, because from early on, we were taught our goal was not to build a socialist country in China, because our goal is to become a communist country. And you cannot become a communist country until all the countries in the world become socialist. And that's when you become automatically, when everyone becomes socialist, that's communist. So it's globalists, right? Back then, I was not thinking about it.
Yeah.
They always, always have global ambition. And now we see that. Yeah, but I would say that the CCP's threat to us and to the world is because we are not doing much about it, because we have too many people in this country that just benefit so much from CCP. They're all bought.
Yep.
Our corporations, institutions, higher education, and government politicians. How many of them are bought by the CCP?
Right.
Too many. Yeah. That's why I think it's us, you know, that allow that to happen. And yeah. not only allow China to expand worldwide, but also to take over, you know, our schools, the higher education, right? They own it. They own Harvard, Columbia, right. whatever. And now high schools, public right. schools, they have money put there. Yeah. So I would say the problem, if you have to ask me which one is the bigger problem, I think the bigger problem is here.
Is us. Is here. Right. Is I
agree. Us, not us, the traitors.
Right.
The enemy within.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I agree with that 100%. And all these multinational corporations that the American people, because they grew up with them, think are American. No, they're post-American. They're global. Yeah. Yes. You know, BlackRock owns so much. Well, they're supposedly the only financial firm that the CCP doesn't own that can function freely in the CCP. I mean, it's all very clear when you put the dots together and do what you do, yes. which is actually yes. look at what they're saying. But now we have a problem in America. And I look to you also for what are some of these solutions? Because people couldn't fight back in Mao's China, where you were. There was yeah. no option to resist. It was mm-hmm. it was also came out of nowhere. But you've been warning us, so you're watching this. What should people out there that now realize it, besides reading your book, which is crucial for people to buy her book and read it cover to cover, you know, and share it with friends, because this we are way late to the game of saving mm-hmm. our country, as far as I'm concerned. But what are some things that, looking at the big picture and where you were growing up and where you are now, that the average American or the average American citizen yes. won't do much, the above average American citizen yeah, should be doing?
I know. The first, I still say, is to understand it. And that's what my book is about.
Right.
You have to understand what is really going on is a communist takeover of America. No, this is not, you know it, I know it, not every conservative
I know.
Knows about it. And so I think that you can't fight something if you don't even understand it. So I think the first thing is really understand. And I hope that's what my book is going to do.
It is.
Really educate people. And I said, enrage you and pull you out of the couch and do something. What to do? You got to get involved. You can't sit there and complain. And people ask me what? And every day on Twitter, I said, you know, today is election day. I was in the polling station at 5:30 because right. they opened at 6. I came, my friend is taking the shift. So I come back and here and do the interview with you. I'm right. going back there. So get involved locally.
Right.
And not just a presidential election, get involved locally, know your candidates, support them. And really those people, I tried my best to support everyone because I admire their courage to even decide to run because it's difficult. It takes so much, and not only takes so much time and energy, it takes courage. Because you really made yourself a public figure and a target many times. So we have to support them. And so how do we change? We change locally.
Right.
We change our county, our state. Most importantly, change our school.
Yeah.
Get yeah. the right people into the school board and pay attention to what's going on in school. Even if you don't have kids there, go to school board meetings
yeah.
and hold them accountable. And that's how, that's exactly how we take back the country.
Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Now let's talk a little bit about courage, because you are one of a few, but very, very at this point, a high profile former CCP people in this country that I am sure that they are aware of, because anyone that has risen to speak out against the Chinese Communist Party in this country is a target. There's many that we can name, but you have had to, inside yourself, find a tremendous amount of courage. It seems like it comes natural to you, but I'm sure it doesn't. And a lot of people don't understand it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your journey into, you know, fighting the fear anyway.
It's a big fear, because I was never involved politically. I have to admit. And before, I just show up and go to vote and hardly understand the issues. But I always go,
right?
Yeah, because I thought that is something, the right is so special, really, to me, because we had no right to choose our leaders. So but I don't really understand it, because I did not spend the time. I was busy doing other things, fun things, achieve American dream. And, right. And that is a problem, because I thought freedom is automatic. You it's just there, you know, and nothing to worry about. And but now I really, really, really appreciate it. It is really one generation from disappearing. You know, we have to really do something to defend it and in order to keep it. So I forgot what the question
was. No, so I was saying that a lot of people are scared to stand up. Yes, and nobody should be more scared than you.
Yeah, because so that's when I started to, in 2020, I said I got to get involved. I was thinking about a very small involvement. So I take the giant step to join the Republican committee. And right. Then I became president, a captain. And so, and then I thought I probably want to do more, because I want to tell people my story. And right. Then with the encouragement of the conservatives, and I went to school board.
Yeah.
But that was scared to death. You know, fortunately, I have the mask. I said, thank God I have the mask.
Right.
People can really see me.
Right.
And so I thought that's it. You know, it's a local meeting, you know. I had no clue that it went viral. And that to me is the biggest decision. And that I know what it means if I say yes to a Fox News interview.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, I know once this is done, there's no turning back. And but just as you said, it's just almost like something told me, you got to do it. Yeah. And I only have not much time to I have to say yes. Right away. And so I said, you know, it's no longer about me. And so I said yes. So in a way, I felt that I was pushed into it by something.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, there's no way. Your voice right now is so important. And, you know, this is where we are. You said to me on our first show, you said, you know, the American people don't understand that you had somewhere to go. And they have nowhere to go. And with what Joe Biden's done in the last 3 years, the reputation of the American people is being damaged more than it has ever been. They always blamed our military industrial complex or our government. But right now, when I'm looking at foreign papers, the propaganda that always starts with the rest of the world being okay with turning on a nation like us with Iraq and anywhere else, starts with them blaming the people, like they did with Russia in the beginning of the Ukraine thing. They wanted to cancel all the Russians. Well, for the first time in a lot of our lives, years, there is a lot of rhetoric worldwide about the American people being the problem. Are you seeing that? Because I think that's a dangerous shift in the narrative, and it's our own government that's perpetuating it.
Yeah, because eventually it is the people. We're the people that put certain people in power, right. And we are the people that can decide to turn it around. It take all of us. So we do have control, but not enough people are getting involved. And I often get a message from people that I know long time ago. You know, they send me a text message or email, thank me for speaking for the silent majority.
Right.
But my problem is why you're silent.
Right.
Why you are silent, you know? So that is the problem. And so we have to, and I really think that's what I hope my book will do, is really alarm you. That you can't just sit there and think everything will be okay. By the time you find out yourself, now I'm warning you, because I'm warning you based on my lived experience using the left term. Okay, you have the choice to listen and do something, or you find out yourself, but by then it will be too late.
Right. I mean, they're marching us straight to our own demise. And a lot of people are, because something you talk about too is the dividing of the people so that the people do not see the real enemy. We do not see or realize the real problem. And then if you're called that, they call you crazy. But honestly, these socialists of America, Democrat Socialists of America, these communist groups, they're having meetings all over the country. I know a woman that came on my show that infiltrated one of these socialist meetings. And the scariest part was in the beginning of the meeting, I guess, of the socialists, Bill Ayers, who's an original domestic terrorist Weather Underground, brought in, mentored Obama. He was the keynote there. And they got up and they asked how many people in that room. I guess there was about 800 attendees were educators, and 90% of the hands went up. And we're seeing this with libs at TikTok. I know you share a lot of it. This is a major, major problem. But I believe that these teachers are coming out of the teachers' colleges already. They're, like you said, they're activists. They're not teachers. Yeah. And I think people aren't realizing that your kids aren't learning education. They're learning to be activists.
Yeah. So it's not a curriculum. It's not a course that's been taught in the public school that is CRT or gender theory.
Right.
It is, you know, you can't probably not very often you're going to find it's in the curriculum, but it's in the mind of those teachers.
Right.
They were the ones, you know, I retweeted a video. They say, you know, she teaches science and he teaches math, but they talk about CRT, they talk about gender theory in their teaching. So that's where the problem, that's why it's so hard to stop it. And for school, I really think it is time we have camera in the classroom.
I agree. That is exactly what we need. And accountability and firing. Because what is going on too is that, you know, this goes back to what you talk about in your book about private property. These people think your children are their property. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Well, talk about a little bit, because you, when you were young, when this came into your world, you didn't everyone have to like say that Mao was their father and have his picture in their home? I mean, people don't understand that this is part of the program.
Yeah. In China, it's I think we touched on it already. It was a given. Yeah. So everyone knows that the children belong to the party. And then as a parent, you help the school to indoctrinate your kids.
Right.
That is amazing. That's what, you know, people say, oh, did your parents teach you some values? Well, they were communists. They were indoctrinated. So they helped me to be even more indoctrinated.
Right.
So, So,
and so these teachers are coming in, and the teachers are, they don't consider the parents at all. So people are always saying like, Why don't the parents do? Why? It's like, they don't care that this is already baked into it. Now, let me ask you about the other side of this is that they would like to take our guns in America. Every time that there's a shooting, you know, the first thing is to take the guns. At the same time, we are watching a very weaponized police force, which I know you've talked about, as there was a weaponized police force, because this kind of totalitarian communism can only be done really with force, because I guess at first they try to convince you to enter it freely. But when that's not working, then it's by force. So what are your thoughts on the Second Amendment and why it exists and the obvious efforts to disarm law-abiding citizens in America right now?
Yeah, for the longest time, and after I came to United States, I thought gun was the problem. I mean, probably about 15 years ago, because I never understood why we have a Second Amendment. And that is the problem for a lot of Americans, especially for the young people, and because they were never taught. They right. they call it gun violence. It's just absolutely absurd. The violence was committed by people using gun. Gun is not, but anyway, as when I started to understand, I said, what a genius that are those founding fathers. They know you can have the constitution that will protect this right and that's right. But when nothing works, the only thing we can do is stop the tyranny using,
protect our families.
And so it's not by, it's not for hunting. It's not even for self-defense. It's defend our rights. Right. So I think there are too many, you know, like in Loudoun County. And so for a lot of Asians, gun violence is a problem. So, but they don't understand why we have that amendment. So I think education is so important, but it's not done in our schools. It's not done in our universities. So as conservatives, we have to do better and say, if you want to say, if you want to find out what it's like in living in a totalitarian country, when you have no arms, look at China.
Yeah,
they can. In Mao's China, they can just drag you out of your house and put you in the gulags or just have you executed. There's just absolutely no protection because you are defenseless. And during the COVID, they can shut down a gigantic city like Shanghai for months, shut it down overnight. And then we will figure out how to deal with people have no food. You know, people starve to death.
I know.
In Shanghai.
Right.
Why? They're defenseless. That's why it did not happen in America. You think that did not happen because we have a better government? No, because the government know that we are armed.
Right. And it's so important that people understand that. Now, let's talk about your book, Mao's America. This is not some kind of play on words. You literally have a warning that we are in Mao's America. So tell my audience a little bit about what you hope that they will learn in your book. And because I don't only think people should buy your book for themselves. I think that they should buy it for their children. And for their friends and neighbors and really insist that people at least consider what you are saying, because once somebody starts to dig into your book, there's going to be a lot of aha moments like, I didn't see that, but you lived it. So what gave you the impetus to write the book? Probably because there's not enough education. And then what do you hope people that read it get from it?
Yeah, I do want people to know why I call Mao's America, because what's going on, the woke is really Maoism with American characteristics. I'm playing on words because that's what the CCP call their brand of socialism. They call it socialism with Chinese characteristics. So I'm just playing on the words, but it's true. It's exactly what it is. I can summarize quickly. What do I mean? Maoism with American characteristics. Mao perfected political identity politics. Right. And that's exactly what the left is using. Mao used cancel culture to replace the tradition with his ideology. And that's what's happening. And Mao used indoctrination and turned the students, turned the kids like me into revolutionaries. Here they're doing it to turn them into activists,
right,
and weaponize the youth. And also, they set people against each other and fight each other. And that's how they control the population. And that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Now, what was the financial system? Because a lot of people don't really realize that the central bank digital currency and the track and trace surveillance and all this stuff that they're saying is to protect us from corruption is quite the opposite. I don't think a lot of people understand that the financial system that is involved in this level of communism and socialism. And I think they need to know, because especially all these young indoctrinated kids keep hearing about a universal basic income and are like, great, you know. But yeah. Can you just talk about that aspect of it? Because people really have to wake up to that the financial side of this is a big controller as well.
If you want to summarize what communism is about, it's about control. It's really about control. Control everything. Control the wealth. And control information. Control your mind.
Right.
And so in China, when I grew up, and it's a cash society, but everything's rationed. So you have certain amount of a grain, and they give you a little coupon. And that coupon mostly can only be used in your little city. That means you can't travel. You can't even travel to another city. Because you can't buy, okay, the currency is the same, but the food ration coupon is different. So they don't have to do anything. You just control. You can only survive in your own little area.
Right.
Now they have this social credit system and central control of everything that now they don't have to bother to do something like, you know, they go after you, the police show up in your house and then question you. They just use total control. If they see you posting something, it's a danger, and then they can take your credit away. So you can fly, you can take train, and eventually you can take money out of your bank. And then what? You can't survive.
Right.
So it's worse, so much worse than before. But
yeah.
Control, control, control. If you think you had a little convenience that this American customer I saw on the TikTok, she was amazed to find out in Whole Foods, she used her hand and the payment was made. How convenient. Anytime you have some convenience, your liberty was taken away.
Right.
And people don't even look at it.
Yeah. And that girl, I know, I saw that video too. I'm like, does she question where her handprint and her fingerprints are even going? Or it's just super cool, because then it's going, because I know they do this in China, and I believe they're doing it here, which is they have dossiers on everyone. They know everything about everyone at all time. And if the American people don't stand up and reject this, and because we do also have to think about a parallel economy and getting through this storm, I do believe that we're winning this battle in one sense, is that I think a lot more people are awake right now, which is why it's coming out at such an important period. So we're going into 2024. You did do a lot. You are doing, and you're very active in making sure that 2024 is a fair fight, or as fair as we can get it, and that we expel these globalist, socialist, communists from our government. So in that sense, just before we go, how are you feeling about this next year? I mean, I think it's going to be a rough year, but I think that if we weather the storm and really fight, we got a good chance. Your thoughts?
Yes, I feel the same, but we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared at another 2020.
Right.
And it's not Floyd. And now I think it's not even Israel, it's something new. They will create another crisis.
Right.
And so we have to be prepared for it. But I think now everything they down to Trump make more people realize that our country is really, really at the brink turning into totalitarian regime. Right. So I think more every day, I think more people are waking up.
Yeah.
So I do have hope.
Good. Good. Your hope matters because you're on the front lines. Okay. Can you tell everyone where to find your book? And as I say, this book isn't only important for you. If you have children, and this goes all the way to high school, college, adult children that are out there and have been indoctrinated, this book is a really good opportunity to not put it in their faces yourself, but hand them something. And as they get into her book, they're going to start to be like, oh, wait, that we need that. And she's given a tool for people to wake other people up. So please tell everyone how and where they can find your book and get it now.
Yeah, it's sold anywhere books are sold.
OK,
so but if people if your audience buy it from Amazon, I ask you, please leave a review. That will help to promote the book and to really spread the message.
Okay. And do you have I know you have a big following on Twitter. So what is your handle at Twitter so people can follow you that follow me?
Yes, it is X Van Fleet. X V A N F L E E T.
Okay.
And just two days ago, I reached 100 followers. That is just amazing.
I've seen you grow. And you. Let me tell you something. The bigger you get, the better for our country. And quite frankly, the better for the world. Because I feel like if America falls, the whole thing goes down. So we got to stand up. And we're very lucky to have you on the front lines. And I will put all your links below. Keep up the amazing work. The book is a smashing success. Against all odds, people are waking up. And I think your book is a really, really important tool right now at this minute in time. And will be in the future. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Everyone's been asking me what I've been doing because I am in better shape than I've been probably maybe in my life. And I am now thriving and I have so much energy. I'm going around. I'm doing all these tours and I'm doing the show and I'm showing up at small events and big events. And I'll tell you the one thing that's definitely changed my life is superfoods. Mel Kay superfoods. When I got involved with superfoods in the beginning, I was not eating right. I was not sleeping right. I was not, it was mid-COVID. So I wasn't really doing much and I was doing a lot of things wrong. And then I found superfoods and it has changed me from the inside out. Not only have I dropped weight, which wasn't even the goal, I really wanted to detox. I wanted to help my immune system. I wanted to make sure I didn't get sick while a lot of other people were. And superfoods came into my life and changed everything. I now think about what I'm eating. I don't have cravings. I don't eat late night. There's a whole protocol. It's so easy. It's laid out for you. You take it out of the box. It's there. All your food's taken care of, all your nutrients, all your energy, all your protein. It is an amazing way to change your life from the inside out. Superfoods changes everything. It gives you a protocol. It gives you a schedule. You know what to do. You know what you're eating. You feel great. You look great. Your life's getting better. And the one thing I know is you can go to themelkshow.com, go down to superfoods, and you can start your journey. Because today is the day. I will tell you, I waited, and then I started superfoods. And within 3 months, my entire life changed for the better, more than I could have imagined. MelKayShow.com, go to partners page, down to superfoods, and click on the link, and you will find a whole new world that will change your mind, change your body, change your life. So when you get superfoods, that helps me and helps this show keep going. I cannot tell you how much it's changed my life for the better, and it will yours too. And enjoy the rest of the show. Mel Kay Superfoods. Get over there now. There's no time like the present. The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week.
So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started.